Informer, you know, see Daddy Misto and I go play. A licky boom boom down, detective man said. Daddy Misto has tabbed someone down the lane. A licky boom boom down, informer. You know, see Daddy Misto and I go blame. Licky boom boom down, detective man said. Daddy Misto has stabbed someone down the lane. A licky boom boom down. And we are late to doing the show. Monday's episode on an actual Monday. Shocking, I know. I'm just so jumping the gun on that. I think I screwed the tempo up five ways to Sunday. Like, I jumped in early, and then I started talking at where I thought the beat would drop, as the kids say, Howard. And the beat hadn't dropped yet. And by the beat in white person music, I mean a vocal. Actual singing, too. Anything?
I just take great offense for the hip-hop. Come on, man.
What?
You can't say that about hip-hop.
I can about current hip-hop. Isn't it weird that hip-hop is so old we can now pull the, in my day, this is what hip-hop was like card?
I mean, do we want to start with this? Because I'll tell you right now, my biggest problem with hip-hop right now, it's not live performers who then go to studio. It's just all, like, we sit in a studio and, like, create these beats that we couldn't, frankly, perform well live.
Yeah.
By the time we record it.
Yeah, and it used to be party music. Like, it used to be a guy with the Kangol. It'd be like, rap, these are my rap skills. And equally complex rhymes.
Yeah, it's very different the way that a lot of production goes on these days, so. I can't hate, though. I do have an album. People can go get that on iTunes.
Oh, my God. The first plug of the episode, a Howard album. Get it out there, sir.
Yeah, find out. Lit Blue, Cammy Law. We actually had to go to studio where, yeah. She was able to do the performing, but I really wasn't capable, so that's why I hired a musician to do it.
Good for Cammy Law. I followed her briefly on Facebook, and she didn't follow me back, so unfollowed.
Wow. Thanks, man.
Unfollowed, bitchola.
Thank you for your support, man. I appreciate it.
I gave her months and months to just click on follow facebook.com/papasbasement, and it wasn't done. So enjoy the cold, hard world, bitchola.
That's my girl, man.
Bitch. You're listening to Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined by Howard Flood. Show's website is inpapasbasement.com. If you're an iTunes user, go type in Papa's Basement. Don't put it in Papa's Basement. That will cause the entirety of iTunes to melt down. And you might download Journey's Escape album instead of our MP3. It's got some prime cuts, but it's also going to cost you $5. We're free. So who's the winner there? You, if you get Papa's Basement. There's the answer to that rhetorical question. Also, I feel like a winner because we caught that Italian MILF cooking broad in the studios today.
Oh, she is on air talent. I was like...
Yeah, she has like some cooking show on Fairfax County Public Access where we record.
I was really confused for a second. I was like, why is that producer so fit? Like,
yeah,
why on earth is behind camera talent looking that good?
Why is she in porno secretary heels? And a little short skirt with an apron on.
Her calves were ridiculous. I was just looking at the calves. I'm like, I'd like to see the rest.
Oh, she is. Yeah. It's so sad because I can't. She has that quote unquote, I guess you'd call it older lady look. But you can't call it older lady look, can you? Can you really? Like, she's got to be, what, 35, 36? She's got 4 years on it.
Does she count as a MILF? That's my question. Does she have a kid? That's part of the
requirement. Do the whole MILF thing, like, literally based on kid? Like, can you be a MILF at 23?
Yeah, because you got to bounce back, dude. You got to bounce back.
To me, the MILF has to be, like, over 30-something. Like, there has to be some look of age to them.
I don't think you understand how pregnancy works. Like, your body is not always the same after. Like, before and after, not the same.
Oh, I get it. It's horrible.
So, yeah, if you're... I mean, you're going to bounce back a lot better when you're 16, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Jamie Lynn Spears has had 4 kids, and I think she's 21 now. And she looks like any other 21-year-old. Your body is chewing gum at that point. It's Stretch Armstrong. Do whatever, and it'll spring right back. You have your first kid at 32. Bye-bye. Wave bye-bye. A lot of knifey time needed to repair that. I'm in love with that chick, though. The girlfriend is listening. Turn off this episode immediately.
This is just entertainment.
3 minutes. Yeah.
It's just entertainment, baby.
I'm just joking, girl. Just joking, girl. My heart for you. Eyes on you. I was tapping at my eye. I was tapping at my heart. I was doing ghetto sign language. I love you.
Ghetto sign language on radio.
Yeah, exactly. Five kinds of translating on the air. Oh, that girl is good looking. That woman. Now, is she a MILF? I would assume as much. I would assume, given those looks, given the short haircut, too. That short hair is, look, I got a family, I got a husband, but I look this good still. There's still a bit of a party raging inside here. She does some sort of cooking show on this fine network of ours, on the broadcast TV wing of our media empire. Whatever you want to call it, a Fairfax County public access family, I don't know. But she, I wish I knew the name of the show so I could plug it. I literally just know Monster Madhouse or whatever.
You're quite the coworker to have. What a colleague you are.
Yeah, I wish I could plug it. Like any cooking show you see, what are we locally? Channel 37, I think. Or no, that's our radio channel. Channel 10, if you're in the Fairfax County area in Virginia. Any cooking show you see and it has like a girl's name in it, look that up. Because Milfetta might be the host. That is a good-looking woman. Distractingly good-looking to be around before you record.
So would you rather watch her show for an episode or spend a half hour on Reddit Gone Wild?
Well, Reddit Gone Wild is enjoyed at home. I mean, there's a difference. I can do things looking at Reddit Gone Wild with my door shut as both of my cats meow ceaselessly.
Yo,
to get in.
Not to make you sound like we're back in high school, although this is more like a modern high school kid. You couldn't just DVR it and then wait for your mom to go to work?
I mean, as funny as it is to discuss this, I wouldn't actually run a batch off to a cooking show. I'm not a pervert. I'm not that disgusting an individual. Could you? I mean, what do you think she's going to do? Slather Greek yogurt on her cleavage?
I will not admit to any sort of enjoyment of the Food Network at this time.
Oh, that Gina Carlotta, whatever the hell her name is.
I'm not a big fan of
Gianna Michaels. Giada. There we go.
Yeah, she got a nice rag.
She's
she really
cute.
Shows it off, yeah.
She's sexy, too.
Yeah.
Nothing like these little thin, fit broads that can eat.
She talks weird. I don't know. There's something about the way she talks.
Oh, is she actually, like, from Guinea Land?
I think one of her parents is, but she definitely hams up pronunciation of Italian words.
Oh, really? The prosciutto. Does she do that, like, dirty New Jersey pronunciation where they just hack off half the word? The mozzarella!
No, she doesn't do that. She actually does appear to try to pronounce it like an Italian would, but
it's kind of
annoying.
I love how they think they're Italian doing that. It's like they cut off maybe the last vowel at the end in your homeland, not all the Z's and R's in the front and the 18 vowels that precede it, dunces. Sorry, I'm trying to find a best of where we can mark that we did a best of worthy clip for More Like Radio.
That was pretty good right there, man.
I thought that was okay. That whole little MILF rant.
Yeah.
That'll work right there.
So what you got for us today, man?
God bless More Like Radio, getting us those listeners. There's your plug, More Like Radio Clan. I got a lot, man. I got a big amount of show for 1 hour. I wish we had time for two.
We'll see if we do.
Please don't call me on that bluff. Wish we had time for two, though. If we had time for two, oh, that second one would be so good, Howard. If only we had time for it. Again, don't call me on that bluff. I wanted to start off, we got a lot. There's Golden Globes. We've got the auction to kill a black rhino.
Whoa.
And we can talk very quickly about foods, the worst things you can put in your body in terms of what they make come out of you.
Yeah.
That's a quick one.
Mm.
You want it?
Because I'll tell you right now, like, spicy food now, as I get older, I realize, like, when it comes in hot, it goes out hot.
And you're half Korean. You're built to take that stuff.
Yeah, well, it's fading over the years. I'm noticing that I need to be a little more careful when eating the hot wings, when eating any sort of like Korean hot pepper paste product, like dish. So it goes in fiery and tastes delicious, but I regret it the next morning for sure.
I'm trying to think the last time I had something spicy enough where I noticed it coming out. And for me, this is the worst joke ever. It's a crapshoot. Let's just move on from that. But I will notice I'll eat the same thing, and one day it did nothing to me. And yeah, the next time I eat it, I'm having to wipe with an ice cube. Like, I'm literally having to sit on a block of ice and then have it melt underneath me like a cartoon character on a hot day.
Yeah.
A cartoon character who fell into a fire, because that's how science works. I always love that. The ice wouldn't fuse to your third degree burns and then just pull the flesh off you as you stood up. Cartoon characters had it easy. For me, it was this morning, man. Last night, my mom scored a bag of Terra sweets and beets.
Oh, yeah, beets.
By
beets are the worst.
Yeah, it's sweet potato and these blood red beet chips.
Yeah.
And it says a full serving of vegetables in every ounce. So, of course, I managed to get my hands on this for the second half of the Denver game. And I'm like, oh, this is like a salad. Like, she made that. She got that bag, but she also made a salad. She's like, do you want some salad? And I'm kind of shaking the bag like, vegetables right here, sister. Now, I neglect the fact that, let's see, 10 grams of fat per serving, 15 chips, and 160 cows. So maybe a little worse for me than lettuce, just a touch. But she hated the beets. She's like, how bad are these beet chips? And she had like five and kind of chucked the bag at me. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. To me, they're sweet. They're crisp. They're obviously cheaper than the yams or whatever the hell they shoved in there, the sweet potatoes. Because there was like five beet chips to every one yam chip.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't give a damn. They're brightly colored. They're delicious. I shoveled them in my maw. And this morning I get up and I don't know about you, the last couple of years as I've crossed into 30, I've been good for morning crap. Just like I wake up, 5 minutes go by, and then I'm like, I really have to do this. And I took my first one without incident. And before she headed out, the madre was like, hey, there's some coffee left, which is weird. She normally knows how much to make for herself.
Yeah.
But she's like, there's some spare coffee. You want me to chuck it? I'm like, screw it. I'll make it a coffee day. I'm not normally a big coffee guy. It can, any kind of upper derails me. I instantly get like horny and have to crap.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. This is the first time I've had Dexedrine in a month. You give me Dexedrine, I'll take a monster crap 2 seconds later, and then I'm looking at porn.
Yeah.
For like hours on end. Coffee's no different. I immediately have the coffee and have to take my second of the day within an hour span, which isn't fun.
Right.
And this one, it was like afterbirth, my friend.
Ugh.
And for about 2 seconds, I was really panicked. I was like, what did you do to yourself this time, Papa Giorgio? I would be even more scared if I was like gay or something. And it's like, what, did I rip myself back there? What's going on? But I engage in no backdoor antics, backdoor shenanigans, to quote Homer Simpson. So I was just going through the Rolodex. I'm like, what happened? Did I have like five hemorrhoids I didn't know about that popped in concert? What's up? And then I thought back to good old Opie from Opie and Anthony. And he, just open it. We can hear it. We can hear the soda opening. So just open it. And you probably shouldn't have in the studio. I acknowledged it that it's here. We should maybe just have some water for you, sir. That's right. Why are you looking at me? This is like when Will would come in and he thought it was bad boy to eat half of a pizza in the studio. And it's like there's nothing bad about it. It'll just get me in trouble. If you need a sip of soda, that's fine. We'll put it away. Are you done with your sippy?
I'm just really pissed because, like, I would have gotten away with it if you hadn't, like,
no, you didn't.
Brought attention,
it
man.
It sounded like you were letting out a slow fart. Like, even down there, we just heard.
So call it a slow fart. This sucks. I want to go home.
Ah, you're fine. No one cares that you had it. It's not like you spilled it. Like, that would have only been an incident if it was then followed by gurgle, gurgle, sizzle as you dumped it into the microphone. We're good. But Opie was talking on air about one time he had a veggie smoothie containing a bunch of beets. And then he relayed that the next day it looked like he had ass cancer. And that really is what it looks like. You wipe and it's magenta.
Yeah.
And you're just like, did I eat crayons in my sleep? Am I four? It was horrific, man. It really shook me up. It that 20 seconds until I put two and two together.
Yeah, I mean, I learned this when I lived in a smaller community where there's only one good restaurant, and that good restaurant used local ingredients and they use a lot of beets. So my first experience with beet issues.
What was this?
This is when I lived in Lexington, Virginia. I think it was called like the Red Hen.
Yeah, but what'd they serve? It's like beet heavy.
It was beet heavy as for the sides. Basically, whenever you got like your main entree of a steak or whatever else, like one of the sides would always be beets because there was a local beet farmer. So,
oh, a Schrute. You weren't a big Office fan?
No.
Dwight Schrute's whole shtick. He was a beet farmer.
And
he would just eat beets like apples and have like these blood red teeth. It was disgusting.
But yeah, it's it was alarming the first time I went there because it was a great meal. And then next morning I wake up. And you know, I had a fair bit to drink the night before.
You?
So when I get up for that like early morning pee after a long night of drinking, and then I look down in the bowl, I freak out. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm just peeing a stream of blood.
Whoa, can't do it to the front door?
Yeah.
Whoa, I've never experienced that. That's insanity.
Because it was a lot of beets, too. And they were fresh, man. They were fresh. So it was just straight up alarming. And I actually got on my knees to look at it because I didn't believe my pee could be that color.
Oh,
and that's
no.
when I realized, like, that's the color of the beet I ate.
Wow.
And I chilled out because I was like, this would hurt if that were blood, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that's like 100 times worse than it coming out your butt. Your butt is just like this door of mysteries. It's almost like a Twilight Zone thing. Like, it's from another dimension. Every so often, some weird stuff comes out. You know what? It's no big deal. If my urine is getting a little fancy on me, I'm creeped out right fast.
Yeah, no, it was alarming. I didn't go back for a couple months, but I realized like it was the only game in town, so.
Ugh, they just served you beets. It's so weird. Beets are just such a odd, almost ethnic cuisine to me. I guess they aren't.
They're not ethnic. Well, I mean, many cultures make use of the beet. I am a fan.
I don't feel they're that all-American.
Wow. No, like,
Not like we have beet salad. We have potato salad. We're fatsos that eat potatoes.
Where my dad grew up in Eastern Montana, they have beet farmers there that grow sugar beets, and that's a great alternative to cane sugar. So, did you know?
I did know that beet sugar is our answer to delicious cane sugar. And then we just said, screw it to the beets, and we made it out of corn, and that's when America became morbidly obese.
Yeah. Yeah. God bless corn syrup. The scissorp.
Scissorp. Actual scissorp. All right, Golden Globes, man.
I did watch them.
Did you
watch them beginning to end while I was practicing for my band?
I have a penis, so I didn't touch the Golden Globes, and I instead watched HBO. But I realized something. While doing the Twitter thing with the Golden Globes on, I realized, one, I am over social media. We're going to get to that in a second. And two, not that I was ever very into her, but I did see American Hustle last week.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I see a little bit of the fuss with Jennifer Lawrence. I'm already over her.
Wow.
With her Golden Globe antics and everyone tweeting and retweeting them. I don't know. What did you think? You do your spiel. Well, I'll do my spiel.
Let the record show first, like, before you emasculate me as you just did, I had the tray watching...
Whoa, gay people can be manly.
I had the tray... I watched this with my girlfriend, and the only reason I watched this is because we ended up watching Denver play San Diego.
Yes,
which... For the NFL.
Which I had to miss half of, but apparently it wasn't that good a game. None of the games... We'll do this in the football show, Papa's Football Podcast... Later, none of the games this weekend particularly good. I'm just throwing that out there right now.
All right. Anyway, going back to the Golden Globes, that wasn't very good either. But yeah, like I ended up just playing bass since I play bass now in a rock band.
The cool instrument.
Yeah, I'm pretty badass like that. But yeah, I was just playing bass while that was on in the background. She was watching and trying to block out my horrible singing. So,
Oh, you sing and do bass.
Of course, I'm like Sting.
Sorry, you beat me to it.
And Peter Cetera, actually, for Chicago.
Oh,
would sing and play bass.
And I was going to pull Sting's first name, but I just know he's Gordon something. Damn it, what is Sting's full name? Leave it in the comments if you're listening. I know it's Gordon. Damn it.
But I'll say this, the Golden Globes are, it was better entertainment than the Academy Awards normally. I think the Academy is overblown. They sometimes pick terrible movies. I wasn't offended by any of the choices this year. I haven't seen any of these movies, though, so...
Oh,
I was
son of
glad.
A bitch. Hold on. I got a missed call we got to handle. Yeah, what is the whole thing with the... What the hell event are we even talking about?
Golden Globes.
They're They're just a more laid-back version of the Emmys and the Oscars. They do TV and movies.
It's a combo. So one of the cool things is they bring television and movie stars together.
Ooh. Ooh, hobnobbage.
It's the Hollywood Foreign Press, so it is an attempt to be a bit of an outside perspective on Hollywood.
What is the Hollywood Foreign Press?
It's just everybody in the world wants American culture, so like that's...
So it's like French people that cover Hollywood.
But they're basically LAers. I mean, it's... They live in L.A., man. It's not that different. They somewhat infuse a European perspective on American film and television.
I can't do the rest of the show chanting USA for 45 minutes. It would not be appropriate.
I think one of the only reasons that stars get a kick out of this is it is international recognition for their work as opposed to just Hollywood insiders.
Well, isn't the thing they drink to? Like
that's the entertainment part, and that's kind of the European aspect of like, why not get them drunk before we put them on stage?
I like that. I like the Hans and Franz voice.
No, it's pretty funny because by the end, what's his name? The guy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Andy Samberg.
He seemed pretty drunk to me. He seemed pretty drunk when he accepted his award. And they're often blindsided by the fact they won, and they're really not expect to prepare a speech for this. So they all seem very nervous because none of them really like, I think they're somewhat put off or they're soothed into the event because they're given dinner and drinks beforehand. So you feel like you're just...
So no matter how big you are, a free meal and some free booze and you're still a whore for whoever gave it to you.
Well, you're still and you're put off by the whole thing because I shouldn't say put off, but you know you're put into a state of ease that you don't normally have at those
lulled into entertainment. A false sense of security.
But it's you're thinking it's just gonna be like dinner, kind of like a prom or whatever, and then boom, it's like you got to get on stage now.
Sex is expected. The boom is lowered.
You know, Academy Awards, like there's this expectation of like, hey, this is a very serious event. The red carpet was rolled out, and you must have a speech ready in case you win.
I like your white guy voice.
All right, that's two. That's two I'm going to be using on future episodes.
What got me, dude, people were live tweeting this thing. We've done this bit before where people will live tweet anything, any big event just to get any kind of traction because the hashtags are there.
Yeah.
Just do hashtag Golden Globes. And someone might see you and someone might follow you because we all want to be famous. I don't mind that so much if you're bringing some sort of insight. If you're doing something that's like smart and amusing. But here's what got me, man. First of all, everyone's blowing Jennifer Lawrence for like the 30th effing award show. Like right. She's supposed to be this alternative to the Hollywood BS. I know early on in the night it was blowing up because they were interviewing Taylor Swift and she was like behind in the background making faces. Ooh, she photobombed Taylor Swift. Really? I'm supposed to be bowled over that like some thin blonde actress is making fun of another thin blonde actress that isn't just being a catty bitch? Like, I'm sorry. Like, I guess Taylor Swift doesn't really act. Give it time. They'll weasel her into something soon. But it's just famous people, a skinny blonde made it in Hollywood and the other made it in the recording industry. And somehow these aren't the same thing. Why? Because the one acts a little silly.
Well, one is actually talented, so.
I'm sorry. They're both whatever. Jennifer Lawrence, decent actress. Taylor Swift, fine pop musician.
Get out of here.
She's fine for pop music. Like I've heard, 10 singles or whatever. They're pop music. They're poppy. They're catchy.
They're pretty subpar. I can't really think of anything of hers that I consider even average.
Oh, I like that. The We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. That's all right. The Romeo song sucks.
That's terrible.
I like that Tim McGraw thing she did when she was like 8 because she just says Tim McGraw like 1,000 times. But yeah, like Tim McGraw. That was our favorite song. Like that chorus and the pre-chorus and the bridges, it's just that same verse over and over.
I just don't find any of your music very melodic. I don't know. It's very...
It's fine to me. It is what it is, man.
At best, that song Trouble, or I Knew You Were Trouble, whatever.
I don't know that.
It's her latest pop song. Like, she does a little dubstep thing in the chorus.
Really?
Yeah. That I suspect she may have gotten help with that part of it. But I would say the chorus was good, and then the verses are terrible.
Who knows what the hell she is? Like, everyone thinks she's this country broad because she looks like this sexy hayseed. Like, she's from New York City or some crap. Literally, I think her dad was a lawyer. And, like, he had this 8-year-old brat who's just like, I want to be a country singer. Take me to Nashville. And the family relocates, and she sends out demos. And next thing you know, she's middle America.
Because, I mean, what's the dude that got Shania famous? Fritz Lang, is that his name? The hard rock producer?
Yes, the director of Metropolis.
No, not Fritz Lang. What's his name?
Mutt Lang,
my bad. Get these Europeans confused all the time. So Mutt Lang, who did he produce? Like, he was a hard rock producer before, right?
Def Leppard.
Well, yeah, he was
Def Leppard.
I'm
trying to think who else. I think he did sometime with AC/DC. Yeah, and he brought this kind of rock production to Shania.
He just proved that anybody can sort of, like, brand themselves as country now. Like, well, he ruined country.
It's so simple. Like, country music trends were just, like, 25 years behind anything in mainstream music. And he's like, we're going to get something that's only 5 years behind. Like, this would be only mildly hokey in real music. But you country hayseeds, this is, like, this is mind-blowing. This is literally like Jay-Z dropping an album in 1965. Like, it's Al Green versus Jay-Z here. To the country folk, that's what it was. They're like, oh my God, I can't get enough of this Shania. Because that's how they said her name, at least in my head.
I actually like classic country.
Yeah, it's good. Like, I mean, it depends. I'll even go like moderately unclassic. I love the old drinking stuff.
Yeah.
Like, where it's just about drinking and getting screwed over by your woman, like Hank, the original Hank, man, Hank Williams is it. Like, if you even, he's pop music, period. It isn't country music.
Yeah.
He started everything. Him and Fred Rose, his little writing friend or whatever. That's it. That's American music right there. It all goes back to Hank. And then Johnny's easy to like. Merle Haggard, all the Outlaws and crap like that. But hell, I'll enjoy me some Garth, man.
Yeah, like Garth was still country, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he brought in other influences, but in a way that was still mainly country. It hadn't lost its essence yet.
He got pretty dang close to
it. It wasn't like
mainstream
Garth featuring Old Dirty Bastard.
Right.
Like the way you could see someone bringing Lil Wayne or
Big and
Tim
Rich,
McGraw and Nelly.
Big and Rich is such an insult to like everyone's intelligence. It's like, God. For real, like, he plays, they just play catchphrase for every like generic life experience in a small town America. It just really bothers me that, like, make references to the lingerie section at Walmart, talk about, like, a pickup truck and drinking on Friday night, and just talk about, like, unnamed, indescript gravel road that goes up to house without air condition.
Yeah, and it was, like, I cannot tell you how big and inescapable that crap was for people, like, outside of just a huge metropolis. Like, there, a girl I used to be tight with and I met online based out in Ohio. I very, very vividly remember her pulling hers out of a Big and Rich Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy shirt. Like, that is one of those memories I'll have until I'm peeing in a wheelchair and some Jamaican has to wipe me.
See,
daily.
I'll admit that's a catchy chorus, and I'm not going to ever be upset about a girl pulling her jugs out of a t-shirt that has that written
on it.
It
was great.
Yeah.
I thought it was the most Americana experience I had in my life to that point.
So you ultimately
country
have to...
Country girl pulling them out on webcam for me.
Ultimately, you would have to thank Rich. Yeah.
I wouldn't care what the shirt was. It's just what I remember at the time. It could have been like a friggin' Dynamite t-shirt. I don't care. Like, whatever it was would have been blazed in my head, and not because of what was on the damn shirt. I just, you brought up Big and Rich. That is my memory of them.
But yeah, man, I'll say, like, I don't like Taylor Swift's music, whereas Jennifer Lawrence, I saw her in Winter's Bone when that movie came out.
I've seen a bunch of crap of hers, man, all through Netflix. I saw Winter's Bone on Netflix. I saw Hunger Games on Netflix, where she played Cat Piss, whatever the hell, Katniss.
Yeah.
Dumbest name ever for a kid. Like, how do you let a character in a young adult book or whatever have that name? A kindergartner could come up with that zinger. And then I took the chick to the American Hustle, and she's in that.
And did you like that movie?
You grade things on a curve where you're with the girl. Yeah. I was up and down having to take business calls and take pisses.
Right.
So it was okay. It was just longer than I expected. It was like 2 hours, 10 minutes or some crap, man.
I heard it's somewhat overhyped.
Oh, like, yeah.
It takes itself
yeah.
a little too seriously, that type of thing.
Like, it had good performances. And because I walked in expecting nothing, I was like, that wasn't bad. But if I really thought I was in for, you know, like a Scorsese type thing, nah.
It's just, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, say what you will, but I haven't seen any of the movies that are nominated, to be fair. But I think without a doubt, you have to, I don't know what the Academy's going to do, but Golden Globes, I'm glad they just like knew for drama. You got to give the best motion picture to 12 Years a Slave. It's based on an autobiography of a man who was enslaved. And they just created a film that depicts it in a way that gets Americans to realize how screwed up slavery was. You know what? That has to win. Whereas American Hustle just seems like a bunch of people who took themselves way too seriously and tried to recreate the vibe of a 70s film.
Now, I heard about 10 minutes of ONA today.
Yeah.
And Jim Norton had a great take on 12 Years winning, just being typical knee-jerk Hollywood crap. And he kind of laid it out for me in a way I will agree with. It didn't win for director, didn't win for script, didn't win for best actor, actress, supporting actor, supporting actress, yet it's the best movie. It won nothing. And yet it's the best movie because, hey, slaves in the title.
No, I disagree
with that. Is there
any truth
to that? Okay.
I really disagree with that because, like, the nominees for best actor, the only one that really could have won for that, it was best actor. Because obviously that movie is about a central figure.
I don't know who won anything, by the way. I so tapped out. My experience, the extent of my Golden Globes thing was people tweeting like madmen about it and specifically Jennifer Lawrence and her stupid dress.
Yeah.
Like, she wore what? It looked like a sail with the
it looked weird to
the
me.
The things you'd put around a barrel to
yeah,
cinch
it
around her.
It looks strange, but I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
This is where I officially quit social media. There is some guy, let's see who we got, Colton Haynes on Instagram, and he takes a picture of himself. He's a man, mind you, and he's a good-looking guy. This guy could act or maybe not model. Maybe he's this short of modeling, so he has to be goofy. So he's silly and funny, ladies. Blow me so hard, Colton. That's what you're good for, you little punk. So he takes a picture of himself on Instagram, miming what's-her-face, J-Law, and he has a sheet wrapped around his man teats. The guy literally has like these defined striations in his chest. He's already not funny. He's too fit to be funny. It has Christ knows how many retweets and big ups and whatever the hell you give on Instagram. I think it was like 180,000 likes or something like that. Get the F out of here. And then some other comedian, Sarah Scar Carlin, she just takes a picture in a white comforter with two black belts around her. This is social media. We just ape things. Have you ever seen that people will make videos, parody videos, before the actual video has dropped on YouTube for a song and try to score millions of hits this way, trying to jam in as much pop culture crap? I'm going to give you an example because you're looking at me like a dog that's watching me wank. You're like, what?
I imagine this.
Like your head's lilting a little bit?
I was a bit surprised with some of the stuff that dropped quickly after Robin Thicke's video for Blurred Lines came out. I thought it was a little too quick.
It's all parody.
Yeah.
There's not an ounce of comedy to it. It's all, I don't hate it. Ain't it funny because it's me, not him?
Yeah.
It's asinine. I do not grasp it. So, right when Your Love Is My Drug first dropped on radio, that Kesha song.
Yeah.
Now that's catchy pop music, by the way. Kesha looks like a chew toy with a vagina that has herpes. But she can, that's a tune. Every so often, she can only write one song, mind you, but every 2 years when the new album comes out, the first time you hear it again, you're like, that's not bad. So Your Love Is My Drug comes out. They had not released a video proper for it yet. There was some anus who literally was just running around a field with like good grade camera
right.
work. Good camera, good lighting. This was not a cheap affair. And I think the fourth Pirates of the Caribbean movie was coming out at the same time. And it was literally like, it's me dressed as Jack Sparrow for Your Love Is My Drug. And it was a guy in full Jack Sparrow makeup miming Your Love Is My Drug as he kind of was shot from multiple cameras in a field. what did that contribute to the dialogue of comedy as a whole? What did that do to entertain you? I don't know, but it had 18 million views. The entire thing was pop-ups to like look for other parody videos he did. He wanted traffic for the sake of traffic. It bowls me over, man. Like, what is traffic if it's not directing people to something of substance? Like, people are not putting two and two together. You cannot be famous for the sake of famous. Just look at me because I can do this. So can everyone else. Like, when I try to roll people to Papa's Basement and all that crap in papasbasement.com, it's because you go there and I do this show. I sat down and I made something original, at least semi-original. Whatever, I'm not regurgitating from O&A. God bless them. Right. My writing is fairly original. The concept of reviewing movies I haven't seen before, I stole from Don Geronimo. Right. But to quote Don Geronimo, you're stealing from me, you're stealing twice. So, I do something. A lot of people out there do something. And I think we're more and more afraid of anything original in this day and age of the internet. And it sounds weird and like counterintuitive because the whole internet thing was supposed to be able to let you see things you wouldn't normally see before. It used to just be what's on network TV, what's on cable TV, and what is a radio station playing for me? And maybe what will I see in print media? And now you can find people on YouTube. You can find people doing blogs and podcasts and Tumblr and Instagram. But it's had the opposite effect. It's like now we can only digest stuff that is based around these tentpole items. Like, oh, Jennifer Lawrence, she's famous. So anything related to her is fine, but we want nothing insightful. Like, it has to, the less insightful, the better. We just ape her, and that's what we can digest. Sorry, you've been waiting to talk.
The reality is, man, minutes. Like, you're talking to a guy, though, who, like, not only released an album of cover songs, but plays in a band that only plays cover songs. So I am very much one of these people, and with respect to music.
You're at least playing an instrument, though, for F's sake. These people want, they didn't want, they had several thousand retweets and likes based on taking a picture. Like, 1,000 people obviously had this same idea. They rushed. Yeah. They saw this thing on TV and could not sprint fast enough to get a blanket and take a picture in it. That's not goddamn comedy. But nothing worth attention.
Yeah, I mean, here's people at one are still trying to figure out how social media is going to, like, evolve. I think, like, we haven't got to that stable point yet, and it's always going to have, like, bells and whistles added to it. But, I mean, even going from, like, Twitter to Reddit, you're seeing, like, an evolution of content where instead of just, like, the catchphrase in 140 characters or less, you're actually able to have, like, a little more content attached to that now with Reddit. So I feel like Reddit's kind of surpassed Twitter for me. But, yeah, when it comes to latching on to what is popular, what are the trending topics in the world today, you're basically trying to get people's attention towards your original content. So when you talk about this guy who's a parody artist, you know, if he does other stuff, I don't know what he does, but his parodies should get people to look at his actual original stuff.
Okay, and that's the thing. He had no original stuff from what I remember. It was literally, here is me dressed as someone from pop culture miming along to this other video. And he thought this was some avant-garde comedy, I guess. Or like, at the very least, he thought this was worthy of attention.
It's a big mistake. And I think if your ultimate point is like, you need to be creative in your own unique way instead of just looking at other people's stuff and parodying or covering. It's true. Like, because I look at this more for music. You know, this is more like what I'm familiar with professionally. But what music has, cover songs are a great way to be discovered. But you are never going to make money playing someone else's song. You got to play your own.
Yeah.
It's the only way.
Unless you're that Filipino kid discovered by Journey. That's it.
No, but even that, like, you really, like, you make so much more money as the songwriter. And the same thing goes for somebody who actually has things besides parodies. Because parodies are really a secondary market off of somebody else's good work. Even if it's, like, a terrible movie, somebody went out and made a terrible movie that now you are trying to make a little extra cash making fun of that movie. That's not really being creative. That's just trying to be a leech.
That's 100% how I see it. And I don't really know what reinforcement the guy can draw. Like, okay, I'm the guy making this Jack Sparrow video. And again, I bet it, here, I'm going to look it up right now.
I'm just
telling
you. Make
sure you can still look this up to this day. YouTube.com.
I'm just telling you, like, the problem for him is So people know the movies involving Jack Sparrow. They know, like, Kesha. They're not going to remember who he is because
still
they're going to click on
well.
His stuff.
3 million views.
What's his name?
I don't know. Hold on. Damn, people it's don't... good. 808. Wait, it says there's a parody music video. Hold on. I'm flipping through. Is she actually in this video? What the hell? Maybe he was actually attached to her in some way, in which case my entire point is null and void. No, it's really poorly done. Never mind. Okay.
I'm just saying, man, like, if you want people to remember you, like, parodies are just a great way for people to remember laughing okay. about the thing that was being made fun of. It has nothing to do with the person who made the parody, usually.
This guy is even worse than I remember. The last 10 seconds of his video are, click to see more. And again, just more links to his crap. Here's what he offers us. An Ace Ventura parody,
ugh.
Jack Sparrow blog,
ugh.
Mad Hatter, and Justin Bieber. Clearly, this is a comedic voice on par with Lenny Bruce and Sam Kinison. And I'm so glad we have YouTube to get him out there. It's why you feel the need to contribute in that way. Like, I guess you put it out there and all that can really happen, because no one from SNL or anything like that is going to discover this guy and be like, he's worth a damn. Because we all can recognize still some sort of real talent. And see that it gets somewhere else. Like, someone who actually creates, you still have, like, a Seth Rogen and crap like that. He's creative. Even if you don't think he's that funny, he makes things. He's right. directing. He does scripts. He acts. He goes a notch above a little puke like this. What does this guy really get? He gets, like, affiliate clicks, I suppose. Like, when you have a movie or a little video on YouTube that got 3 million clicks, I would... hope to hell, and he did have an ad at the front. So he monetizes this quote-unquote comedy, and I guess he has chicks that, like, DM him, and it's like, you're funny, and if they're in the local area, he pounds them.
I'm just saying, like, you have to allude a little bit to pop culture, man. I mean, it's just a necessity of doing comedy now, I think. Like, you can't get away from just doing, you know, like, your own original commentary on the meaning of life, etc., dating, whatever it is. You actually gotta, like, even SNL, like, it's not all original skits. Like, some of it is actually parody.
I guess I have something to say about it. That's all I'm saying. Like, right now, we're crapping on it, and we have a reason why we're crapping on it, but we're mentioning pop culture. To me, this is fine.
Right.
To simply be like, this is me. I look like Jennifer Lawrence from the Golden Globes, and that's the extent of your insight? Well, I got eyes too, bitch. I can play dress up too. Do I deserve a million YouTube hits? Because I can duct tape a comforter?
I mean, to me, I don't really have a problem with the person putting it out there as much as, like, the people who are giving it traction. I think that's more the issue, that, like, basically the audience that continues to promote that, it alarms me that people are that excited to see that sort of content.
Me too, to a great degree.
I really don't get it. Like, I don't mind if people use their Twitter accounts for that sort of thing, but
and the human brain, don't get me wrong, is wired so that new things are scary. And if you think you are in to new and different things, you're kidding yourself. We are hardwired to like what we are familiar with a very slight twist. A very slight twist. That's it. We cannot handle brave and new. Like, look at pop Metal Machine Music. Look up Lou Reed Metal Machine Music. It was like 45 minutes of industrial noises. It's never been, I don't know, there's been a more panned album. From
right.
a big artist. Yet, the guy put out music that was beloved by many. Like, what, Perfect Day right now is getting play as a PS4 commercial?
Mm.
And yet, anything radically different, we cannot handle. We're good with Perfect Day because it has, like, some weird octave changes. Otherwise, it's a pop song. Like, we're cool with just the slightest twist. If you do anything truly original, man, you're screwed. No one's going to like it. Maybe pop culture will catch up with it in 30 years. They probably won't.
You're begging the question of, like, what's the point of creative productivity anyway? Like, are you doing it for yourself, or are you just doing it to get noticed, or are you doing it for money? Because ultimately the things that succeed over the long haul are the ones that are, like, done to express your vision. It's not a concern for you whether or not other people care about it now, because hopefully one day in the future they will. And that's art. That's why all these great artists from the 19th century weren't noticed till they were dead.
What you're saying is people are going to listen to me riff on the Sopranos finale, an episode from like 2006, and I'm just set.
I think going back to this whole greatest hits thing, we should probably find some of the more internal talking points that we discuss. Occasionally we go beyond like what's in the celebrity gossip column lately and talk about, you know, the meaning of life. We get philosophical once in a while. That's some good stuff.
We get
to
deep
pass
all
down.
The time.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not just saying this because it's my show, but Papa's Basement is the best thing that's ever been on radio ever. just put it out there.
At least the episodes that I appear. I'll agree to that.
I'm glad that you could see things from my perspective, not blow it out of proportion. I'm glad you had some insight.
You're welcome. You're welcome. My presence is always appreciated here.
And I'm sick of people loving that Jennifer Lawrence. I can't take that either. She's not, okay, she's not that damn hot. First of all, she's sexy. Fine. There's a million broads that look like that out there.
You don't at least give her credit for trying to, like...
She's the proof of my whole, we like the same thing with a slight twist argument. That's it.
But she's not out there trying to be the person that she's expected to be. She's just herself. And she's not, like, out there being outlandish and crazy. She's just a person that is sort of like your quirky, like, well, you don't have sisters, but my sister's quirky friend. That's who she reminds me of. Like, when she talks, I'm just like, yeah, you kind of remind me of, like, random women I've met before. I mean, it's just like, you're kind of, like, a little off, but you're still kind of...
You're still a 10. That's what it boils down to. I'm not... Okay.
I mean, you're just talking about appearance to me. Like, to me, the reason she's celebrated is she's a 10, but she also, like...
She's goofy.
Tries to be...
But we only accept her goofiness because she's a 10.
Well, the flip
that's
side
what it
is,
really is
people get on Taylor Swift case because, like, she's trying so hard to be a role model in a way that's probably unhealthy for her personally. She's trying too hard to be the person she's expected to be instead of just being herself.
I suppose, but maybe she is just an ice cold bitch.
Nah, it really does seem like she puts a lot of stock into, like, public perception of herself.
Well, yeah, isn't that the whole person, thing that people think she doesn't even put out or whatever?
I have no idea, man. I don't really follow, like, celebrity news. Like, why are you getting on my case watching the Golden Globes and apparently you know whether she's still a V?
This is
weird.
I thought, well, the whole thing is she has, like, a million boyfriends and she acts like it's a real serious relationship. Like, she'll see a guy for 2 weeks and for a while people excuse this. She would see a guy very briefly and then it'd be like the next album was about how he broke her heart when it ended. And then after a while, the pattern just continued and continued. And it's like, wait a minute, bitch. I see the constant here. It's like the Skins and Dan Snyder. Like every coach leaves. And they're like, I'm sick of this ass.
Yeah.
I'm done. And everyone has to point to the coach's failures. After a while, it's like, who's the constant here? The roster's changed 100 times over.
Yeah, your team still keeps a losing.
Yeah. I'm going to blame Danny Boy.
I'm just saying, like, all right. I prefaced this with I was sitting at Jiffy Lube. When I saw the, what's her name, Bethany from Real Housewives of
Frankel.
Something. Yeah.
I had an ex who looked exactly like her, which is not a bragging point. Also dated a girl who looked just like, the one broad from Big Love, the blonde one that had the killer body and the hideous face. And she didn't even have the really good body part.
Can't remember.
Oh, she blew Vince... The Buffalo 66 director on screen.
Oh, yeah, Chloe Sevigny.
There we go, Chloe Sevigny, whatever the hell.
But yeah, I'm saying I saw Debbie Gibson on Bethany's show when I was at Jiffy Lube, all right? I was waiting for my oil to get changed.
How quickly did you hop to her Playboy spread on your phone?
Oh, Debbie's?
Yeah.
Oh, it's been a while. But yeah, no, one of the things she was talking about was, I think one of the reasons she did the Playboy spread was when she was like popular as a teen idol type.
She was 14. She couldn't do it back then.
But as she was like being groomed and brought through the pop music scene, she was always being the person she thought she was expected to be, realizing how unhealthy that was. So she spent like decades in therapy trying to undo like the suppression of who she actually is. I don't think Jennifer Lawrence has ever suffered from that just because she got in through indie filmmaking basically. And so she's been able to have this amazing opportunity to come into Hollywood as somebody with an Academy Award nomination off of her first, like, off
Hollywood
production.
I just remember everyone saw her at the Academies for Winter's Bone. I was like, who the F is that? She is hot.
Yeah.
And then next to, and again, it wasn't she's quirky, it's she's hot. And then we learn she has this like funny little side personality thing, but we care because she's hot. That's it.
I mean, it does bother me when I see her on shows and I don't think she's getting the critical feedback on like, all right, this was not funny.
Yeah.
Like, you're being fun. Sometimes when you joke, it's people are just laughing because you're hot. Like, that's something that, like, somebody in her circle really needs to talk to her about. That's the only criticism I have of her, though. She's just being herself, man. I don't know. What's wrong with that?
It's more people's reaction to it, I suppose. And it's, I'm going to put it out there. This is going to get a little feministy.
All right.
Which you're going to get weirded out by on
this
show.
No, like, because my feminism will fight your feminism, man. Bring it.
I've had this talk. The girlfriend actually brought this to my attention. Because she's a little fed up with Jennifer Lawrence. And she's like, you know who's really funny and creative and witty and offbeat? Lena Dunham. And you know who we don't give two craps about? Because she actually is a big fat slam pig? Lena Dunham. Lena Dunham is as much silliness and zaniness as you want to attribute to Jennifer Lawrence. She's still a dumb actress reading someone else's lines. Lena Dunham writes crap and she acts and she directs. She pretty much made Girls from the ground up. Say what you want about it, but she did it all. And you know what? We don't care because it looks like she's wearing trash bags half the time we see her. And what's more, we only excuse Jennifer Lawrence. So many people love Jennifer Lawrence talking about how poorly she eats. You know why we excuse how poorly she eats? Because she doesn't look like she eats poorly. And again, I'm regurgitating. I forgot where I read this, but it was a brilliant article. They compared her with Melissa McCarthy. That big fat pig. See, this is where I differ from the article. I'll call Melissa McCarthy a big fatso because that's what she is. She's a big fatso. But every time food comes up in a Melissa McCarthy article, she has to apologize for the way she eats. It's like, I don't really know how big I'm this big because I don't consume soda and I eat a lot of veggies with my husband. It's every time. I'm sorry I'm this big, America. I'm really trying not to be this fat. Oh. Jennifer Lawrence gets to talk about eating French fries and Big Macs and that crap because she doesn't look like Melissa McCarthy. She looks like someone who eats a bunch of salad. When 10 years from now, her metabolism kicks out and she looks like someone who eats that crap, people are going to get sick of her ass real fast, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, it's... To me, I have a hard time getting on the case of the people who are involved in this industry versus like the demand for basically the demands from audiences really is the biggest
problem.
The
audience is always the evil because people out there are only pumping out what sells. As much as I get pissed at the asses who get Christ knows how many retweets because they posed in a sheet with some curtain strings around them. If you retweeted it, you're my real problem.
Yeah.
If you double-clicked the Instagram photo, you're the idiot. That guy's just putting out there something that he thinks will have traction, and you're the one that made that evil wish true. Hitler couldn't have killed a bunch of Jews without a lot of people helping him along the way.
Yeah, there's a real problem with the way that I feel that movies have been made. Now, one of the interesting comments that I heard, I like Kate Blanchett. I've watched her in movies for... probably since Oscar and Lucinda was an early film I saw of her. I was impressed. It was her and Ralph Fiennes. Go check it out. Decent movie. When she won, I think, Best Actress for her role in a Woody Allen flick, she said last night, hey, you know, roles for women have gotten a lot better in the last 10 years. So to go back to us, this is so strange. Like, we're both talking from feminist points of view. But
yeah.
No, like, she was just talking
about,
like, when she said, like, roles for women have gotten better in the last 10 years. I'm like, I'm not sure if movies have gotten better in the last 10 years, but, you know, it's just, you're not expected to just stand there and be eye candy as a female actress anymore, for at least, like, a substantial part of the film.
Now you just bitch Walter White or Tony Soprano to death. You're just a blonde bitch going, nag, nag, nag. I'll enjoy the fruits of your criminal empire, but nag, nag, nag.
So to me, that's the funny part of it when it's like we're finally starting to move in a direction where actresses don't have to look like Jennifer Lawrence. They still look like Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, exactly. Except now they say, Oh, but I eat a bunch of burgers. So now we're just shaming the ones who have to barf all the time and put in the work to look like that.
It's weird, man. I'm big into like trying to figure out a way to promote intermittent filmmaking, because like the way that they make people in LA live is unacceptable to me. So like actresses out there, just it's unreal.
You can't see their ribs. They have to play plus size models.
It's terrible. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Maybe it's the fault of the camera. Doesn't it add a couple? I don't know what it is.
I've seen you on camera. You tell me.
Still sexy. That beard covers 50 pounds. That beard is a girdle for the face. God bless it. I love that beards are in right now. That is nothing but the fat man's friend. All right. You've been listening to Papa's Basement. Thank you for sticking with us. Check out inpapasbasement.com, the show's website. Find me on Twitter at Papa's Basement. I do funny creative things, I would like to think, instead of just silly zany pictures. We got Howard over here. He's at what the F in Heezy on Twitter.
Did that pick up that sound of the earpiece on my headphones?
Well,
you
just hitting the mic
filter,
with your noggin. Yeah.
You're welcome, people. You're
sounds
welcome.
Like a cat playing with yarn right next to the mic. On iTunes, look up Papa's Basement. Also look up Papa's Football Podcast. That is the football show we do that we'll be recording in a couple of moments. And last but not least, thespookiescomic.com, comic I write with my buddy. I think that's it, Howard. Anything left?
We good, man.
All right.
Get out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about, nothing to critique. Great show, great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way. On my way, glory, hallelujah, I'm on my way.